We had a difficult trek awaiting us. 400 meters doesn't sound like much, but dragging our butts and gear down steep, rocky, wet jungle terrain with monstrous growth all around in a lightless jungle can happen only at a snail's pace. We crawled over boulders, slipped on muddy rocks and broken branches, and tripped on roots, trying to maintain balance and be quiet at the same time. Each step was part art and part science. We weren't down the canyon 30 minutes when we began to smell smoke and fish and rice cooking and the musky, almost pleasant scent of elephant dung. The farther we went, the more light the jungle gave us. We even got a cool breeze from the mountain, which mitigated the brutal humidity. Thousands of ants moved in parallel with us along the trail at our feet. The closer we got to the camp, the more birds we saw sweeping down from the trees. The jungle was breathing signs of life. My senses intensified, and my back muscles tightened under the strain of my 60-pound pack. I knew I couldn't allow the discomfort to throw my focus or move me off balance. Efficiency depended on each of us moving in near lockstep and maintaining rhythm, no matter what the obstacles. We were about to engage the enemy. I strained my ears to hear evidence of enemy activity. I heard nothing. Then we saw two enemy sentries maintaining a post way off to the side of where we were. They seemed distracted and had no clue about our presence. They were lounging around smoking cigarettes. The early morning hour seemed to have compromised their acute sense of attention. Whatever the reason, they were being sloppy. Beyond them, we could see the full compound at the ravine bottom. Wow. We didn't see any life mulling in the open areas of the camp. Moving continuously with stealth, we slipped undetected past the perimeter section where the guards were lounging around, aided in part by steam rising from the jungle floor that shielded us from visual detection. We could now see all the huts and shacks and living quarters. It was a small, well-maintained village. I estimated 40 to 60 military personnel, upward of 8 times our team. Quaint and cozy, the village was well isolated from civilization, which in the moment favored us, as its inhabitants likely were groggy-headed and nonchalantly easing into the day. A nearby stream flowed under a short bridge, which invited us to cross, and we did. Once on the other side, we could see the officer's hooch, permanently situated in the rear middle of the camp. Our destination was in our sight lines. It was time to execute. I was tasked with providing cover for Lieutenant Butler and Sergeant Jacobson as they went to snatch our targets from the hooch. The rest of our team set up a perimeter and kept close tabs on the escape route. Our radio man contacted HQ with an update. We got out the tape, blindfolds, and rope to restrain the snatched prisoners. Lieutenant Butler and Sergeant Jacobson removed their packs. They had no more than 1 minute, and likely less, to get across the compound, enter the hooch, grab the two officers and what papers they could, and return to us, relying mainly on the element of surprise. They were off, moving like cats across the compound. As they did, I scanned the rest of the compound for evidence of additional guards or any trouble. I didn't see any. I knew that wouldn't last long. As Butler and Jacobson approached the hooch, I heard my heart pounding against the inner wall of my chest. In all my time in Vietnam, in all the situations that had triggered fear or severe anxiety in me, I'd never heard my heart pound like that. It hurt. My eyes widened. My jaw clenched. My hands tightened their grip on my M79. I could feel small beads of sweat forming on my forehead. I was exploding with adrenaline. Then Butler and Jacobson disappeared into the hooch. I held my breath and didn't want to let it out until I saw them again, alive and well, with prisoners in tow.